I talked the talk. Now it's time to walk the walk. I'm going to try and start a purpose-driven business for real. And thankfully, I've got two guys that are going to help me navigate this. Isaac and Mike, let's see if I can not screw this up.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro. Fellas, what's going on?
Not much, Evan. Nice to see you.
Today, Evan? I will call you the Yoda to my Luke Skywalker, because you are going to educate me on something that I've been I felt this calling because of this show. You guys and this show have inspired me to take the next step to, what is it? Do the plunge. I want to start a purpose-driven business. I'm inspired. We've had a bunch of guests on this show. We've had a lot of conversations on this show about businesses that hire people with disabilities and how important it is, and the purpose element of it, and how fulfilling it is, and all of the beauty and the positivity and the goodness that comes out of it, right? And how it affects us all personally. We all talked about our personal connections to disability, how we're all deeply involved in the community, and how we started this show with the intention of helping this community, not just for our own family's sake, but for the community at large. This is a tight-knit community. We all feel the sense of purpose and obligation to help each other. And after doing all of these shows and hearing what everybody has said, I have felt this spark inside of me. I want to do something about it. I don't just want to continue to talk about it. I want to do something. And what you guys have created with Clean Logic and what you guys are doing with the Inspiration Foundation is very inspirational to me. And so this show, we've been talking about how, we open up our personal lives. And long story short, this is me babbling, but I want to start a coffee shop. I want to start a coffee shop in my community and want to hire people with disabilities to work there. When I was younger, I used to work in restaurants. I was a burrito roller at the Valley Inter Swap Meet. I was take-up manager at Rosie's Barbecue Grillery. I worked in an Italian restaurant in Arizona. Shout out to Papa Rosini and Christina Rosini. I've worked at the Mill IVQ. I loved working in restaurants. I've worked in restaurants and food service from the time I was a kid up until I was, out of college before I got into entertainment. And I loved it. I had a positive experience. I loved it so much. And Mike, you introduced me to a company called Biddy and Bose, which was started up in the South, and they have a place on the East Coast in the South. And it was his family that has two kids, disabilities, and they started a coffee shop and they hired people with disabilities. And when you told me about that, I started looking into that and I thought, this is amazing. And I was like, why can't I do that here in my community in Los Angeles? I want to do it. And I don't want to just talk about it. I want to do it. And I'm one of those people that believe like, I have to talk about it, and I'm going to speak it, and I'm not just going to say it and then not do it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to take the steps, and I want to actually go through and make this thing happen. So I have started to take like little bitty baby steps in the direction of like starting this business, but I want to do it. I want to talk about it here. And if you guys are open to it, I'd love to use you guys as my mentors, ask you questions about setting up a small business, a purpose-driven business, the right way, with your guidance and mentorship, if that's all right with you guys.
100%.
We love doing it.
The whole thing, and Isaac, if you don't mind, I'll speak for you as well. I think this is our purpose as well, is to get this message out and teach people how to create purpose-driven businesses, people with a purpose. So I would love to help you. I know Isaac would love to help you. I think this is what the world needs to see, is that it's not so difficult. Anybody can start a business, a purpose-driven business. And if we can help amplify that to the world with what you're doing, absolutely.
I want to do it.
Let's remember, purpose-driven means it's not going to be easy. owning anything, responsibility, accountability, you know. So yeah, it's definitely one of the things we talk about. Purpose drives, takes you down a path that it's not the easiest thing, but it's fulfilling. And so it's going to be exciting. So let's talk about it. I want to hear what you got to say, Evan, because we talked, you know, prepping for this, that, you know, we really wanted to treat this as if we were meeting, you know, as friends that, hey, I need to get into talking about this business. So, and I thought you had some really good things to start. So,
okay. Well, good. I'm glad. I appreciate that. So first off, I know this isn't going to be easy. The conversation that we've had on this show with other entrepreneurs who have started their own businesses, like, it's very clear to me, like, when you start your own business, it's not a cakewalk. The good news for me is that I'm a person, I've never expected anything that I've ever done to be easy. No job I've ever had has ever been like, I walk into work and I phone it in and it all works out. It's never been like that. So I welcome the hard work. I love the chaos. I bring it on. I'm fine with all that. I'm good with waking up early. I'm good with being boots on the ground. I'm good with putting in the work and doing all the labor and staying as late as I need to stay and getting the job done and all that stuff. I love that. I'm a hardworking person. I love that stuff. The reason I was thinking coffee shop is because I figured coffee shop is simple, easy, compared to like all the other complex giant businesses. It's like, you know, when you start a small business, like a coffee shop is a small business. You could do it in a small, I want to do it in a brick and mortar. I think you need a small amount of space to start. I know that other purpose-driven businesses have started with coffee shops. Like I said, I was inspired when I looked into Biddy and Bose. Then I also saw that there was a coffee shop in my own community that hires people with disabilities. It's called the Lucky Dog Cafe. It's out in Simi Valley, California. And I actually went out and I visited it. And I talked to the manager who was there and I asked her about how they go about hiring people with disabilities and how she feels about the program there. And the conversation I had with her only reinvigorated me more. It was incredibly inspiring. And she was talking about how she loves working with the people with disabilities that they have that come into the shop. And it makes it more than just a coffee shop. And the opportunity to work with people with disabilities and is fulfilling, and it gives her so much purpose, and she loves it. And the smile on her face when she was talking about it, and the way that they interact with the customers, and the customers interact with her, and it was amazing. And I left that visit just going, this is incredible, and this is great. So here's where I'm kind of at. Biddy and Bose has a program where you can do a franchise thing, right? I think they have like 12 or 13 places right now, and you can franchise. They don't have a franchise in California at the moment. That Lucky Dog place, they have a brick and mortar shop in Simi Valley. They have food trucks. And from what I've been told, they're interested in possibly expanding and doing another brick and mortar place, even possibly in my community out here where I live. And then my another person who I respect who's in business was telling me, hey, man, like, you should also consider maybe just opening up your own coffee shop, not affiliated with anybody, and just doing your own thing and maybe doing it that way. So those are the kind of three options I have right now. And then the other thing that I've discussed right now, because just to kind of set the table of where my head's at, is I've been looking at space. Where would I open this thing up? There is a mini mall nearby where I live that has a space, 500 square feet, that just opened up. And the owner is looking to charge $2,500 a month for rent for 500 square feet. Biddy and Bose, funny enough, when they started their first coffee shop, it was in 500 square feet. I'm sure they're paying a lot less than $2,500 a month because we're in Los Angeles and rent's higher. But $500 square feet was enough for them to start their first coffee shop. So I was like, okay, cool. So the space is there. Also, there is a Starbucks nearby this location. And as I was kind of doing my research about this, I stumbled upon something called like the McDonald's effect, where McDonald's opened up, sometimes other fast food chains like a Burger King, they'll open up in the location because they're like, okay, if McDonald's opens up a location, they've clearly done the legwork and the research. And so another fast food chain will open up right around the corner from McDonald's. Yes. Well, there's a Starbucks around the corner from the location that I like. And I figured it's got to be the same thing, right? Like Starbucks is doing all the research before they're opening a location. So if there's a Starbucks here and I want to open up a location, they've already done the location. People are buying coffee. They've already done the research. And there's always lines at the Starbucks that's by my house here. So opening up another coffee place, I think, would make sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm at the very, very beginning.
So I got a couple of things. So first of all, sure. I think you're right about the McDonald's effect as far as location goes. And I would say that the first Biddy and Bo's I ever went to in South Carolina was opened up right across the street from a Starbucks. The line at Biddy and Bo's was down the street, and Starbucks, there was not many people at the Starbucks. And my thought here is people are intentionally choosing to go to the Biddy and Bo's to support the Biddy and Bo's model. Everybody knows what you're going to get at Starbucks. People chose Biddy and Bo's. So I don't think that idea that you have right there is the wrong idea as far as location goes. The second thing I would ask you is, if you like determining what type of operating system you want to do, like Biddy and Bo's is a franchise and you're bound by their model, their marketing, the way they set that up, and they have a playbook that works. The question for you is, do you want to be bound to their terms or do you want to create your own coffee shop, your own model, your own idea? You can still build the coffee shop with all the necessary things, but do you want to do it your way? What is your vision?
It's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at Biddy and Bo's, they're hiring full-time employees that work at the coffee shop that have disabilities and they're training them up. This is from what I've looked into so far. Where the other place, the Lucky Dog, they're working with school districts and other programs and they're having people come in that way. And it doesn't look like the people with disabilities that are working at their coffee shop are full-time employees there. And I'm not really sure yet what the best approach is for me as a first time business owner would be. I'm not sure. Cause what I don't want to do is I don't want to bite off more than I can chew so far. Obviously I want to run a successful business so that I can employ people with disabilities. And it's not just for like 6 months that I'm over my skis and I got to close. The goal is to have this thing open. And so that I can employ people with disabilities for a long time and then create a coffee place in the community that's there a long time that, you know, becomes a pillar of the community where people feel comfortable, you know, and all that stuff that comes with it. But I at this point right now, to be just completely candid with you, I'm not sure what the best path is right now.
Well, I think the thing that you got to be thinking about is what is your why to do this? Because like you said, you don't want it to fail. So that you might be putting those long hours in. We might not, and just, you know, kind of playing like, you know, so into it, like, you know, things that you've got doing with us and other things, you know, you could just become all in and, you know, what happens with the impact. And so like, and how it impacts your family. So I think for you, it's like, is it really matter to have my own brand and like build something? Do I want to build my own franchise? Or where you're coming in, you know, coming from entertainment, it's like you have a playbook. They know how to set everything up. You've got a lot to like work with and it probably make it a little bit easier. But again, you might have a rev share model. So those are the things I'm not familiar with franchise in doing that. But I think what does it mean to you to have your own brand and what do you want to do with that?
Well, I mean, look, I think it's important to create a place, a community where everybody feels welcome. I feel like, you know, I've been, you know, my daughter's 10 years old. She has severe cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal. Every day of my life involves us interacting with other people, other families, with a member of that family that has some kind of a disability. So we're either at occupational therapy or speech therapy or physical therapy or doctor's appointments or school or something like that. And I'm interacting and involved with other families every single day. And what I see every single day is that like these families like ours, it's hard. And right now when we're dealing with kids who are mostly under the age of 18, there's a lot of concern about what happens after your child turns 18. We talked about this in previous episodes about, you know, falling off the cliff and all that stuff. What happens when your kid gets older, especially for like more higher functioning kids that do have the ability to work, but maybe there's a fear from the parent side of like, well, they're functional, but I don't really see them being like fully independent and on their own and working like a typical job and having a typical life. Well, so like, what's the middle ground? Well, maybe I can help provide that. Maybe I can help provide that middle ground, like what you guys are doing with Clean Logic, where you guys are offering, you know, these programs for people with disabilities, you know, visual disabilities, the sewing program that you guys talk about and other things like that. Like I can't do that in this like a multi-million dollar corporation. I don't have that, but like I can do that on a much smaller scale. And I believe that I'm in a community here in Los Angeles where I feel like people would support that. And I like coffee. I'm a big fan of it. I love community. And I feel like I can offer that. I can offer a place like that where people can come and support the community. They can support a small business. They can support families like ours. And I want to be a part of creating that and contributing to that. And I just feel like a coffee shop would be the right way to start. So that's kind of what's driving me into this. That's kind of my why. I want to give back and help our community. And I feel like there's a large part of the local community that would support that. They just need somebody like me to show them how. So that's where my head's at. So to me, it's not really about like starting a business to make a lot of money. I mean, look, obviously we want to have some kind of we want to be able to turn a profit so that we can stay in business and continue to, hire people and pay the $2,500 rent that's out here, that stuff. But the purpose is so that we can continue to give back and contribute to both the local community and the disability community in a positive way for as long as we can.
My thought is, you know, obviously if you're going to build a business, you need to make sure that you're making money. If it's a for-profit business and you're not making money, you'll go out of business. So you need to factor that in, right? But if you go into it just for the fact of making money and not because there's purpose or passion behind it, it'll probably be a little bit of struggle. If you start doing this because you love it and you're genuinely interested in making this successful for the right reasons, I'm pretty confident the money will follow, right? I think from my point of view, I'm not a franchise guy. I don't want to be put into a box on what to do, because what works for something somewhere might not always work for what you're trying to do personally. But I do think Biddy and Bose has a very good start. From when I've been there, for example, they've got equipment that was that made sense. I would say it's accessible equipment as far as like making the coffees and the way they had it set up, but it's nothing you can't learn. And I'm not trying to tell you like, go copy their playbook. But
sure.
It's not, from what I saw, like when I think about it in terms of what they've done and I saw it, I was like, that makes sense. Everything there just made sense. But there's not, Biddy and Bose isn't the only one. Well, there's 3-2-1 coffee. You can learn and do your own way.
Well, and I think he's got that founder's mentality. He's got the bug. So why would he want to do that? And I go back to, you want Sydney to be involved. You talk about, know, when we had that conversation, you're like, well, Sydney isn't going to have a normal job, but Sydney could be part of what you guys market, and that's how you guys use it as an income stream for your family to like survive and, you know, and doing that. And so I think that becomes the part that, you know, you said, hey, Sydney, you know, I don't know if she will. Well, I think this could answer, because you, and it doesn't mean the other places you couldn't hire, but I think you could make her part of the story. And even just leaving, I attended this Founders Day and event in New York where it was our industry, and they brought in all the different retail companies from Target, Walmart. And they said, there's just something about founders. And what's important that when we follow founders is that there's a why, that they are personal about it and they're doing something about it to change. And you have all that why in the checklist. So if the retailers are saying it's about a product and they're en masse, think about your community and that Starbucks you're at. You're going to be able to build demand and have a great personal story. It just, you might mean you never started a coffee shop and you're going to probably figure out, well, which distributor I use or what this. But I also hope, one of the things that I've seen in our community with Walgreens, and seen they've opened their doors to the competitors that come in and see their facility. So if there's an opportunity with these other coffee shops that are hiring people with disabilities, because I think your story is important. Sydney's story is important. And I think it's just another powerful one that I think would just get there, but it just might be a little bit of a harder build, not following a playbook or franchising.
Also though, like I think 3-2-1 Coffee, they have training seminars for people who want to get into this business. So you don't have to franchise, and there's still opportunities to learn, you know, to help you get set up properly, because I think they know they're not going to be, when you're in this industry, like you have to share like Walgreens in order to be successful and make the biggest impact. So I think you also have opportunities to learn as well and not follow someone else's playbook.
And then real quick, I just wanted to get another question right on this topic. It sounds like you've done a lot of research. Have you put it on paper? Have you like started ChatGPT and putting together like a business plan?
Yeah.
How are you going to fund it? Like, I know you're doing the research, but like, where are you at with that?
Because
you've started doing the market research. So where are you at with that?
Yeah. I mean, I have, I've also started reaching out to, you know, I started on YouTube, you know, like any modern entrepreneur. I was like, all right, let's go to YouTube and see if there's any videos on like how to start a coffee shop. And I started watching videos of other coffee shop entrepreneurs and founders and just seeing what their stories were. I watched every Biddy and Bo founder video and on stuff like that. And then when I was watching videos on founders, I would reach out to them on social media and say like, hey man, I watched the video about how you started X and Y coffee shop. And just wanted to say like, I appreciated your story. And, you know, I'm thinking of starting my own and was wondering if there's, you know, could I reach out to you with questions if I come down? And some of these people were very, very cool about it and saying like, absolutely. Like anything I can do to help, if there's any questions that I can answer, like feel free to ask. So I've already kind of started to put together like a little coffee network so I can start asking coffee questions to my little coffee experts here. So that I've started with that. Questions about the financial side of things though. I mean, this is where I know the least. Where I feel like my strengths are I'm really good at talking to people. I'm really good at networking. I'm really good at, you know, all that stuff. The money side, I haven't started my own business before. So I don't really know exactly like how much cash I need to start this business, just being very candid with you. And I also know I haven't fundraised for my own business before. So I don't really know how to put together like a pitch deck to ask for money for people. So I don't know if I need $50,000 of my own money. I don't know if I need $200,000 of my own money or in between what that's going to be. And then how do you start looking for people to help contribute? Do you start with friends and family? Is that awkward? Do you start looking for people? Is there are there groups of people that just are investors that you can approach with a presentation and ask for money? I honestly, I know this sounds so elementary and stupid, but I've never done this before. So well, I guess those are my starting questions for you guys.
Another thing I just want to bring to the audience, what I love what Evan's doing, we're seeing this movement of parents leaving corporate America to start companies to hire their children. And one of the things that I've learned through meeting some of these individuals, you know, do you start it as a for-profit or nonprofit? You know, I'm a big proponent of the for-profit side and running it, but, you know, we know the coffee shop that's down the street from us, Mike, getting him in touch with her, like she started as a nonprofit. But I really feel like when you run that business, you can market, you really do that and you guys can take care of yourself. And then there isn't that feeling of like, should I be always looking out for the bit, you know, cause there's just that different mindset. So for me, have you thought about what you're thinking there? Because that is one of the places that I've seen parents like yourself, like, cause that's where they think going out and fundraising to bring things in. But again, I think it's, are you thinking for profit or nonprofit?
I'm thinking for profit just based on the conversations that you and I have had with other people on the shows over the last couple of months that we've been doing this. It just sounds like for profit's probably better for this business. And honestly, because if we start making money, there's probably a more I can do with it to help the community than through the nonprofit route. So that's where I'm thinking. I'm thinking for profit. So with that said, going back to the other question, like what do you guys think my strategy should be in terms of money?
Well, are you going franchise or no franchise? Because
I don't know yet.
Franchise though, they'll tell you if you want to start a coffee shop, it'll be, let's say $100,000, but that'll include, you know, getting the location, all of the equipment and all that other stuff. It may be a good path to walk down to explore because they'll send you the details and then you can figure out, okay, well, I'll probably need to start out with X amount of dollars in order to build it out. But the other point is, like, if you do it yourself, you have to do the design. You have to, like, put it all together, yeah. Which is, they just make it a little easier, but they're going to charge you for it, right? So you got to allocate your time. I think you have to create, do you want to do your own thing? If you do, there's all the things like branding and, you know, all of that stuff. You either pay a little bit less than you do it yourself, but keep your own budget. You pay them and there's a tailor-made program, but you're stuck. You have to do, you're a Biddy and Bowes franchise operator. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's number one decision, right? But then if you want it, then when you do your research, you can look up, you know, what does a startup cost for a 500 square foot coffee shop, you know, all equipment, and build a list, and they'll tell it to you. You can get that information and then start putting together, here's what my starting budget is. And then you need to consider you're going to start paying rent, but they're going to build your place, whether you franchise or not, right? You have to figure out, what are your average monthly operating costs? So how many cups of regular coffee do you need to sell a day in order to break even and then to make a profit? And then if you're offering like regular coffee or different latte, like different types of espresso-based coffees or whatever, plus merchandise, you know, all of that stuff. So there's a lot of things that you can consider. You have to build a financial model. You got to do that anyway with Biddy and Bowes, yeah, right? You still got to sell a certain amount of coffee in order to be profitable, right? So then you got the marketing. You've got to go and get people into the store. Biddy and Bowes has marketing, but is the marketing that they do, is their program going to get people into your store?
Right. So that's what I was thinking. It's like there are, you know, we're here in Los Angeles and Biddy and Bowes is popular in the South and on the East Coast. I don't think most people over here in Los Angeles knows what Biddy and Bowes is. I'm not saying that, like, again, all the respect in the world to Biddy and Bowes. And the reason that we're having this conversation is because they are amazing people. But I don't know if your average person knows in Los Angeles knows what it is. So is franchising from that, is it worth it? Is it worth it to franchise? I don't know yet. I guess it's what I kind of got away.
Well, the good thing is you get to research it and see what the best thing and find what you feel your appetite is for the extra work and what goes into it, because that's going to be, you know, building the brand, the name, the look, you know, that, you know, just depending. And then what is your vision? Is it one shop? Do you want to do 100 shot? Like, are you, you know?
Well, I want to start with one. Like, yeah. I mean, I want to start with one. I don't want to get carried away here and be like, I want to, because like the other part of it is like, I'm still in entertainment. I'm still, you know, I'm part of a production company. We're working on some really cool stuff. I can't wait to tell you about that. So I'm not all the way out of entertainment. I'm not like saying like I'm quitting my entertainment life and going all the way into the coffee business. Like, I'm going to be very committed to the coffee business, no doubt. But I'm still, it'll be like I'll be splitting my time between like operating.
So franchise might not be that bad, you know?
Yeah. Could get you in easy.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I've told, because I've seen entrepreneurs come into our industry and they try to do two things. They want to keep their other job in finance, but they created this cool product. You got to be all in if you're going to try to be like scale. And doing it. But what it sounds like what you're trying to do is say, hey, like, I'm trying to set up something that can run. I'm trying to give back to the community. So franchising maybe isn't that bad of a model, because entertainment's still where you want to be. And, you know, I think you're great at it. So that allows you to say, hey, this is kind of like my why, and I'm going to take care of it. But if you're going to go on your own, you got to be thinking, well, what is that next thing? Because that's the extra work that you're having to put into it. And if you're only thinking like one location, that's the challenge. But you never know. You might catch the bug later.
Let me ask you a question, though, because with the franchise thing, somebody else advised me. They said, you know, when you're franchising someone, you're paying the franchise fee back to the place, and not Biddy and Bowes in particular, but just any place you franchise from, because your what's the word I'm looking for? Your profit margin is going to be so narrow that when you're paying a franchise fee, that could be your profit margin. And so that's why they were advising me, like, maybe you're better off doing your own thing, so you're not paying because that whatever the percentage could be, if it's 5% or 8% that you're paying back to the parent company, that's essentially your profit margin that you're talking about. Yeah. And so if you're already kind of working with these inflated prices, working in California anyway, where everything's expensive. You're talking about $2,500 for 500 square feet, which is expensive compared to, I'm sure you can get 500 square feet for way less in other parts of the country. Giving 8% to franchises, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Plus upfront costs to become
a
franchise, right?
Yeah.
So, but you have your upfront costs anyway. My thought though, and this is also interesting when you mentioned you're still kind of in entertainment, is I caution about not being going all in, because whether you run a franchise or whether you do your own thing, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And just because it's a franchise doesn't mean they're not going to do the work for you, or they will do the work for you. There's a guy in my Vistage group who owns a franchise company, and his issue is, like, he owns the brand and the franchise, and there's different like types of owners. Some are very involved and do their job. Others are just not so involved and expect the franchise, like the franchisor, to like do all of the things, and it doesn't work that way. And I don't want you to go and say, well, because I'm a Biddy and Bowes franchisee, that they're just going to help me make sure it works. There's so much that you have to do. It's your business. You're basically paying for their name. So if you don't work and you don't put everything into building that that business, whether it's a franchise or whether it's yours, it won't do it. And like,
yeah,
we had an episode a while ago, like, for anybody that wants to start a business, like, know, you got to have self-awareness. Like, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Do you want to go all in? Are you going to give 100%, at least 100% to the business for the foreseeable future until you can start building out a leadership team? So I would caution you, Evan, like, I'd love to see you go build this business, but if you're spread out and you can't give 100%, maybe it's not the right time.
But I can say this. Like, the beauty of my the entertainment side of my business is that I'm not in a job where it's a 9-to-5 job, where I can schedule my entertainment obligations into the middle of the night if I want. So I can use my daytime, you know, 7 days a week to focus on the business and then handle the entertainment stuff in the middle of the night after everybody goes to sleep or whatever it is, and totally fine. But I do hear what you're saying.
I do hear you.
But I will say this. Let me defend myself a little bit here, pound on my chest a little bit. Dana White told me, when it comes to fighting, you're either 2 feet in or get all the way out. And I that's what you're saying, Mike. And I hear you 100%. I will also say this though. I think I have a larger bandwidth than most people. When I was doing TMZ, I was working from 5 o'clock in the morning till middle of the night. We were doing three live television shows a day, 2 full websites, posting 50 stories plus a day, doing all the social media stuff, doing digital content, and operating a business with 300 employees. And I did that for 15 plus years. Since I've left, I'm a consultant and I have a range of jobs that I've been doing just fine. I understand that. I can take jobs off the table, which I'm more than prepared to do, to focus on the coffee shop. And I'm just being honored, like, dead serious. Like, true crime business with a partner of mine who two partners of mine who I absolutely love, and that is great and requires, you know, a commitment, which is significant, but like, it's not a full-time, day-to-day, 9-to-5, 20 hours a day commitment. That is not going anywhere. I'm with those people. I'm committed. The coffee shop can run around that, and I can still do that and this at the same time. I think there's enough time in the day and the week to do both of those things and kind of cap that, at least for the first year or two, while I'm trying to get this thing launched before I start taking on more stuff. And I don't think that would put me in a play. I'm just talking honestly. Yeah. I feel like I could handle that.
Well, I think it's going to be connecting with some of these people that are in the coffee. We have that woman from the coffee shop down the street from us. I'm not drawing a blank because I'm getting my old age here.
Thanks,
so I think there's a lot we can do for part two, Evan. We're really, really excited. Yeah. We're again, one of the things that I feel just really honored as, you know, I've been given this skill set to see people become champions and doing that. And I just appreciate you coming out and being a champion and not sitting on the sideline and just, you know, because you're a great journalist and, you know, so I feel like, you know, you should be able to, you know, do some other things.
I'm ready. That you're doing. I'm fired up. But I hear what you're saying, Mike, and I do. I hear you.
I'm not discouraging you. I'm just telling you, think about it, and it'll help make you more successful. If you do go all in, you're just going to have always have that in the back of your mind.
100%.
You know?
I do. So, I hear you. I think it's a very important thing to consider. And I'll tell you, before we get into the next episode of this, I will do a lot of thinking about this, but I'll tell you, it's been a lot on my mind, and I still feel just as fired up and focused and motivated. As I did when the bug first hit me on this.
Good.
Let's close this out, Evan. Appreciate it.
All right.
Great commentary.
You will hear more about my journey. I'm not giving up. I'm going straight down this road. You will come to my coffee shop. You're going to pay for your coffee because you're going to contribute to my business. But still, we're going to keep going down this road. You'll hear more about my journey. Remember, the best thing you can do to support this show and to support other entrepreneurs and to support this community, this amazing, lovely, incredible community, is tell a friend to tell a friend to like, subscribe, and share this show. Follow us on all of our social media accounts, Driven by Purpose. Thank you, and make sure to catch us on the next episode. We'll see you then. Peace out.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.